We do give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. We honor Mother Johnson and Mother Scudder, and Elder Williams, Elder Walgreson, Minister Singleton and Minister Mora, Minister Reynolds, our very fine deacons, our prayerless children, and the saints of the Most High God and our friends this morning. We praise the Lord Jesus Christ for his goodness and his mercy. We praise him for his love and kindness. We praise the Lord Jesus Christ for being a prayer answerer. You don't know sometimes when you call yourself getting in another lane, but you really need to stay in your lane and let the Lord Jesus Christ run his lane. And, of course, I thank the Lord for just keeping the peace, and he worked everything out. But I rose to put up Elder Warbinson this evening, or this afternoon. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the mind that he had to say that he would bring the word this morning. You just don't know when you plan, and I plan. I said, well, I better not plan too far.
That's right.
And then I'll just go ahead and do what's decently and in order. And I'll ask Elder Warburton if he would bring the word this morning, because just didn't know. And it turned out the way it didn't know. I barely got here. But we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for Elder Warburton being willing to step in. And we're going to ask that you receive him with a hearty amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
I give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In presence of my pastor, his wife, Elder Sister Scudder, absence of Elder Williams, presence of Mother Johnson, all the ministers, all the deacons, the saints, prayer-blessed children, and all of our friends and guests. We thank the Lord for you this morning. I just thank the Lord for just keeping me with a sound mind to live for him. And I am grateful to that, because everybody don't live according to a sound mind. You know, I think about how Matthew's talk about how 12th chapter, you know, he talks about how, you know, once a person comes to the Lord and decides to leave, how he's worse off, you know. And, you know, once that spirit leaves him, then those evil spirits come in and takes over. And that person is worse than they were before. So it talks about this generations are that way also. Each generation is getting wickeder and wickeder. And we can see that. You know, we pray for the world. We pray for people in the world, you know. But we know the world is not going to change. It's going to get worse. So we pray for our loved ones to come out of the world. You know, that they might be saved. You know, all those with a willing mind. Because we know that this world system, when we talk about the world, it's a world system that's run by Satan. And Satan don't love the Lord's creation. We are his creation. He created all things. The Lord spoke, and it was made. He created the heavens and the earth. He created all of the trees we see, the moon and the stars. He created all the animals on land and in the sea. He created you and I. Everything he made was good.
All right.
When he made it, it was good. But you know, Satan was here just waiting to show his face so that he can step in and try to mess things up.
All right.
And he did. He does his job. We have to do ours. We have to do ours. So, like I said, I just thank the Lord for just being here. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring what thus saith the Lord. I thank the Lord for the lesson this morning, talking about Samuel. You know, how he stepped in after Eli, time was up. And that he was willing to do what the Lord had asked him to do. And that's all of us. You know, we talk about, you know, people in all positions in the church. You know, every position in the church is important. And it should be done and thought about as the most important thing in your life. I mean, then your job. You know, jobs are good. You know, the Lord would want us to work. Say, the bishop always say, you don't work, you don't eat. You have to work. But Jesus is always first in your life. He's first in my life. He's first in the person that loves Jesus' life. And it shows when he's first. So, you know, my message, the title of my message this morning is going to be A Need for Change. There is a need for change. Because things got thrown out of order and things need to be changed back to the way the Lord wants it to be. Now, we can't help how we came into the world, but we do have something to say as to how we leave here and how we live here while we're here. So I'm going to look at Genesis 1 and 27. And it said, so God created man in his own image. And we know that image was moral, righteous, and intellectual. We know that man was born in the likeness of the Lord, not looking like him, but having the spirit within him. So he was born with a righteous nature. He understood right from wrong. And it says that in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And that was the command that the Lord gave Adam. You know, that wasn't hard. He allowed Adam to name all the animals. He told him to be fruitful. And he said in Genesis 2 and 15, and it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou must freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, this, the Lord said, if you eat of the tree, you're going to die. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe everything he says. He tell me I'm going to die, then I'm staying away from the tree. And then we look in Genesis 3 and 4. Now, at this time, man was, you know, he had a relationship with the Lord. He was able to speak with the Lord. Jesus would, you know, give him the desires of his heart. The Lord would provide him with all his needs. He had it going on. He had it all. So in Genesis 3 and 4, it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, because the Lord said man should not be alone, so he created him a helpmeet, a woman. And he named her Eve. So we see here that the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to desire to make one wise. Because, you know, Satan going to lie to her and tell her they're going to be like gods if they eat up this tree. So she took thereof of the fruit and did eat. and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Then the Lord personally told him not to eat of that tree. Now, we can say Eve ain't know no better, or we cannot say it. But we knew Adam knew better to eat of the tree. He deliberately ate of the tree. Eve was tricked into eating of the tree. And it says, 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, they didn't die physically, but they died a spiritual death. They lost their righteous nature with the Savior. No longer can you just come to him and ask him, Lord, I want this. Lord, I want you to move this out of my way. Lord, I want you to give me this or put me here or make me such and such. No more of that. Because you disobeyed a known instruction. You sin entered in to the world. And it's an overstepping of the divine line between good and evil. See, there's a line you just can't cross if you want to be good. Then if you cross over, then you stepping over into the sinful side. And that's what they did. It says sin has entered the world. And sin is an inherent nature to do wrong. And this is what sin is. Once you take on sin, it becomes a part of you. We'll see as I get further on. It says, we lost the righteous nature to do the right. We become fleshly and corrupt. When sin enters in, we are no longer a righteous people looking to do right, searching to do right. We become those that's searching to do wrong, looking to do evil. That's it when you take on that sin nature. It says, in Romans 5 says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, I did not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I didn't disobey the Lord that way. But my first parent, who is Adam, and Eve did. So their nature has passed down to all of us. We are now sinners. I accepted that. And some people don't want to hear that they're a sinner. I mean, all it is, you know, you just have to get your connection back with Jesus. That is all I'm saying. You know, I'm not calling nobody a murderer. I'm not calling nobody the evilest person on earth. It's just a nature that we took on. I know some lovely people that won't hurt anything, but they're still a sinner. When a baby comes into the world, he's born in sin. He's a sinner. You know, that's a nature that has to be corrected. That's all. Psalm says 51:5, talked about David. He had an understanding of who he was. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He was born a sinner. In 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. It's in you. We born with it. We have to understand that there is a need for change. We have to change because the Lord cannot stand sin in his presence. And we know we need him. We look at Genesis 6:11. It says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, we can see that this scripture is coming to fruition. We see it every day. You know, I don't have to convince anybody here that the world is evil and corrupt. You think about the guy the other day. Now, I learned this. I was truly astonished. I'm never going to get used to people just killing people. Number one, I'm not going to get used to the evil that's going on out here. Now, here we have an innocent woman out here walking her dog. You know, that was her job. She was walking the neighbor's dog or some friends or whoever. And this young man leaves his house and goes down and stabs her. He left a blood trail all the way back to his house. The police finds him. He in there looking at TV. But what he told the police was just truly amazing. He said dark voices told him to do it. Dark voices told him to do this. And then he says, I don't remember stabbing her. See, when the wicked thing takes you over, you don't know what you would do. And that's what's happening out here. The generations are getting wickeder and wickeder. You know, they don't know what they are doing. I've personally experienced that sort of thing. Working at the jail, working down at the prison, you see the evil that people do. And they don't know how or why they did it. Everybody is vulnerable to the wickedness that's flowing around out here. It leaves one and goes to the next. Once I realized that, I'm like, man, I have no control over that. You know, I try to, I call myself trying to do right, Well, one time I tried to stop drinking. I did. I said, no, I can't keep drinking. Enough is enough. So I'm going to stop. So I went a day or so, I can't remember. Then I start saying, well, I just drink a little wine. I won't drink the hard stuff. This little wine, it won't hurt. Next thing you know, you drink the wine, the wine make you go drink the hard stuff. Because say, this is weak. Nah, this ain't it. This ain't gonna get it. So me and my ignorance, I'm trying to stop something that I cannot control. That's like trying to stop a waterfall from falling and pushing the water back up. You can't do it. It's the same thing. You're trying to live out here without Jesus. You can't do it because the Satan controls you. You don't control him. He controls you, and I'm glad I found that out. You know, you might say I found out the hard way. Some of us do. You know, you got the Lord got to beat you down into the ground till you realize that, you know what, I know what the Lord wants me to do. But, you know, some of us want to hold on. Hold on to what? I wasn't holding on to anything. There was a need for change in my life. It says that in Corinthians 1 and 15, you know, we talk about how the Lord wants us to come back with him. But, you know, there's something that we have to do in order to go back with him. You know, we have to have a changed mind. You know, no matter, like I said, if you hadn't done anything, we have to have a changed mind as to what the Savior wants. You know, I've always had a mind that somebody is in charge. Yeah, somebody was in charge of me. Somebody was in charge, but you know, somebody is over him too. And it's Jesus Christ. Now, he requires a standard to go back with him. When I look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Wrong can't inherit right. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And that's it in a nutshell. You have to put on immortality. And this corruptible flesh cannot enter in to the kingdom of God, because it's corrupt. It says the world and everything in it is corrupt. So there's a standard that we have to stand by. And the standard is a standard of righteousness. The Lord says that you must repent of your sins. That's being godly sorry for the condition that we are born in. Now, it's a true, real thing to do. You know, because I remember when I began to repent, it was a process. It was a process. Now, I ain't saying the process took a week or a month. You know, when I made up my mind, it happened. Because I began to realize that I need a change in my life. And the things I was doing, I had to stop. I had to stop, but I knew that I didn't have the power to stop, but I had the will and the want. You know, Lord, I'm sorry for how I came into this world. You know, so I remember the last time. You know, you want to go, hear the beep bop, bibbity bop, you hear all the music that's going on out here, down to the sports bar and all this stuff. And I can remember driving down to the sports bar. And I sat there in the parking lot. And I said, no. No. Uh-uh. Not going to happen. I changed my mind. Went back home, came on here to church, and sat in that chair. When they put that chair out for me, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait, because see, my mind was made up. You know? Now, I've heard the word before, you know, the old church and in this church. I heard the word before, but, you know, I thought something was better out there. You know, I thought it was going on out there, you know, with my foolish self. The fool that I was, I found out the hard way that there's nothing out there but death. It just said the world is corrupt and full of evil. Everybody killing everybody. I mean, I can walk down the street and somebody just shoot me. I mean, you got people killing people because you are a particular color. Or because you think a certain way. Or because you in a particular place. There is no safety for them. None. But the Lord keeps us. The Lord keep those that are his in safety. He keeps us in his loving arms. That's what I want. I don't want to put my life on the line every day. I did that enough when I was in the military. I don't need to do that now. And the Lord kept me then. He kept me then. The Lord tells me to go this way. Don't go that way because there's something happening over there. That's what I need. I need someone that can see round corners. Someone that can see through walls. Someone that can see days down the road. He see my next week. I don't see it. I need somebody like that. What fool I was. I'm out here walking around in darkness. I couldn't even see where I was going and what I was doing. Satan whispering in my ear, well, I go this way, go over here, go on down there. Oh, yeah, you following the evil one, he's going to lead you straight to the pit. And that's exactly what he was doing. It says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. You're not condemned. If you're in Christ, you are not condemned. The Lord loves you who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that's for everybody. You know, you come this way, sometimes we like, well, the flesh is calling. The flesh wants to do something today. You know, I know, you know, Sunday coming. You know, you playing it out. Well, Monday. But, you know, I need Sunday, too. So you gonna take Monday, then you're going to, you know, take Sunday. You know, I ain't going to worry about Sunday this time. You know, you think of all kind of things in your mind. You know, I'll make it up next Sunday, do double extra. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. We used to always say, if you're not out of town, if you're not sick, if you're not dead, you're expected to be in the house of the Lord. I mean, where else you going to be? Home? No. So the flesh is strong if you let it take you over. Now, when we come into the world, flesh controls us. Flesh controls us. Everything we see, we want. You know, we want what that person have. You know, you see it. You want what this one have. You know, this looks good to you. That's flesh. It's natural. That's what we are. You know, it always say, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? So can you do good that are accustomed to do evil? No. No. No one has fought it for that. But once you hear and know the truth, then you've been fought it for it because you know better. Because it always says, better not to hear. It's better not to hear the word. It's better not to hear than to hear and go back out and do your own thing, because things going to be doubly worse for you. It was for me. I'm telling you what I know. I was here one time. I heard the word. I cried out on the altar. I tarried, but I didn't receive the Holy Ghost, though. But I still paid the price. I still paid the price. I can imagine the people that received the Holy Ghost. And I went back out there. I was terrible. You know, you think you living and doing that, but your mind is all messed up. I mean, your mind is in trouble. You're being held prisoner. Your body is being held prisoner because of your mind. Because the mind is telling you it's okay. But it's not. Don't listen to your mind when you're in the flesh. Don't listen to your mind if you don't have the precious gift for the Holy Ghost down inside of you. Listen to what Jesus is saying. And he's saying it right here, right now. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life is Christ. Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Sin brings death. That's the law. You sin, you leave here in sin, you die eternally. In hell's fire, in eternal separation from Lord. In hell's fire, in conscious suffering. This life is no joke. The Lord done too much for us. And it's a terrible price we have to pay if we don't accept him. I mean, we all can understand that. You know, he went through a lot. He's God Almighty. He sits high and looks low. He didn't have to take on flesh and do this for us. But he did because he loved us so. He didn't have to do it. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You know, you can't obey the law. You can't obey the law. You know, I'm saved. I have the Holy Ghost. But you don't think I go over the speed limit sometime? Oh, yeah, I do. But the Lord, you know, Lord, forgive me. He's quick to forgive. But I can't keep doing it. You know, some of these cars out here, I mean, they ride so smooth and quiet. You got to look at the speedometer to make sure you're within the speed limits. You know, and then I got my wife. She's going to make sure I'm, you know, that's why you need to help me. So it says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. See, blood had to be shed for us so that we might have a right to the tree of life. You think about in the Old Testament when they killed cows and, you know, goats and pigeons for the blood. But the blood just covered your sins. Back then, it covered them. It didn't make them go away. They was there, but they were covered. The Lord, he can deal with that. But now, he died and shed blood. Now, we are covered with his blood, but the sins are washed away. They are gone. When we go down in Jesus' name, in the water, sins are gone. I ain't even going to say where they go. They just gone. And it says that for that they are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. You know, when you saving in the spirit, you're going to be spiritual. You know, and to be spiritual, you have to pray and fast once you receive the Holy Ghost. You know, do the things that are spiritual. Jesus, coming to church, praying, you know, praise the Lord to the saints, you know, praying for people, you know, smiling, saying hi in your neighborhood when you're riding by. I do it all the time. I like I'm down south somewhere. I know I used to go down the country. They love the wave. Hey. And I do the same thing. Hey. Sometimes they don't wave, but hey. You know, they see me. I just want to wave to them. They can wave back if they want to. You see, because it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, I want life and peace. I don't want death. That death bothers me. I don't know about you, but that death part bothers me. I don't want that part. But the Lord told me there's a way to, and I had to deal with that. And I'm grateful. You say, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Your carnal mind, you're an enemy of the Lord. And you know an enemy will do anything to get you. An enemy? Oh, enemy has no love for you. And you become an enemy of the God that has all power. Over Satan, over everybody. Satan already hates you. But then you're going to have the God Almighty hating you too? Oh, no. you have nowhere to go. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It can't be. It just can't be. And the Lord knows this. He knows that there is no way for you to do good that is accustomed to doing evil. He knows that. But he shows us a way. He shows us a way. He left glory. He left all to come to help us. He left it all behind. And what did he tell us to do? To turn away everything and come to him. You got to, if mama get in my way, don't hinder me. If daddy get in my way, don't bother me or don't stop me. Children, anybody, don't let them hinder you from coming to the Lord. Because if you let them go, you ever heard a thing, you let something go and it comes back to you? It comes back to you. You let it all go, it comes back to you better. Better. I mean, there's no losing. There's no way to lose. It's all winning. That was so amazing to me. It's all good. You know, we receive it all. We receive all the goodness from the Lord. All the goodness. But when we say no, we receive all the evil. You know, the hardship in life. You know, craziness. Why does this keep going on? You know, you'll go mad. You'll go mad. They still have crazy houses out here. You'll be in it. And a lot of times, the crazy houses are in the jail. Because I used to work with them, with the crazy people. Yeah, and it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. And, you know, you know, I'm looking at them shaking my head like, poor them. I'm glad I ain't them. I wasn't no better. I wasn't no better. But you just couldn't tell with me because my mind was all gobbled and gooped too. It was. But you know, you persevere on. The Lord, with his infinite mercy, kept me. He kept me with a little bit of sense to eventually come out of that. You know, because sometimes people want to give up. They have statistics out here where people shoot themselves, jump in front of trains, do all manner against their bodies. We had people used to just cut themselves. I'm telling you, it is real. The Lord is keeping us from seeing this and being a part of it. It's out there and it's real. The Lord loves us. He covers us with his blood. He keeps us from all hurt, harm, and danger. It says, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we look at the flesh. I'm sure we have an understanding of the flesh. The flesh is worldly. The flesh is sinful. The flesh is disobedient. And the flesh is weak. It's weak. Now we see Paul gives an example of it. And Paul was a servant of the Lord. He loved the Lord. But Paul used to be Saul. And so, and the Lord changed them to being Paul. Not persecuting the church, but loving the church. We persecute the church when we say, I don't want no part of that mess. Them holy rollers, I don't like them. You know, they go to church all the time. You persecuting the Lord's church. People hear you. And they're like, yeah, them holy people, yeah, they just want to take all your money and all that stuff. You know, no, you don't worry about that. That's not what you think about. You think about your soul. What is the profit of man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, the preacher, whoever you are, want to take all money, that's on him. He got to deal with the Lord. I did my part. Everybody else got to do their part. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, I'm sure there's a whole lot of people say they want to do good. I love people. I love this one. I love my aunt. I love my mama. I love my daddy. I love my cousins and brothers. But let them cross you one time. I don't want to see you no more. Get away from me. It says there, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Sin has a hold on you. Sin has a hold on you. You know, it controls you. You know, it says go left, you're going to go left. It say jump, you're going to jump. And a lot of times you're going to say hi, hi, because you want to get it right. You want to get that evil, and you want to get it right. You look at the bank robber. When the bank robber want to rob that bank, he want to make sure he can get away. He don't just want to go in there and rob the bank and have no plan of how to get away. He want to make sure that everything is planned out so he can get in and get out. That's the evil. But what does the spiritual man do? Do he plan his stuff out? Lord, keep me. Keep me with a mind to come to church today. Keep me with a mind, Lord, to be there. Keep me with a mind, Lord, to not just sit around and do nothing but to do your will. You know, keep me with a mind, Lord Jesus, to pray and fast and do all I can for you. All I can for you, Lord Jesus. That's what the spiritual man do. He plans that out. Gets up early in the morning, starts his day with Jesus. That bank robber, he get up early in the morning and starts his day with that plan. I know there's a scripture in there where it says that the evil person plans out his evil all the time. He plans it out. You know, you got some that plans it out, and then you got some that just, like I say, the devil just takes them over and makes them do whatever he wants them to do because of sin. It says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. I can sit there all day long and say what good I'm going to do. I can. The mind, you know, I'm not doing that today. I'm not going down to the social spot, you know, hang out with the people that's down there boogie-woogieing or, you know, down there drinking and, you know, fussing and cussing. I'm not going down there. But what's going to happen? My body is going to say, nah, we going down there. We going down there. Because, you know, you can say, I ain't doing that. And you still ain't going. I mean, it's real. I have done it. I'm like, I'm not doing it, and I end up doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how and why? Right, right. How and why? You know, I came in here wanting to receive the Holy Ghost. And when I sat in that chair, I said, yes. I said, I want to be saved. I said, yes, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. I said, yes, I want to tarry for the precious gift for the Holy Ghost. I said, yes to all of them things. And I said, I'm going to stay here until it happened. I'm going to stay here until it happened. That's what my mind said. Now, somehow, I left out of here. I don't know how, because I say this all the time. I sat back and I'm like, how did I stop going? I can't even tell you the day I stopped or the last day I went. I was just out. I was out. Because I was still sinful. I had me see the Holy Ghost. You know, somehow the enemy with my flesh, see, the flesh is weak. I didn't stay persistent. You know, I half-heartedly attempted something that I should have did wholeheartedly. You have to be wholehearted with Jesus. He wants your all. He don't want his leftovers. You know, we talk about people that had these services. They want to have the sunshine service. They want to get in and get out. Quick. Almost as quick as they went in, they out. Almost like they wasn't there. They home in the bed. And you come like, oh, I thought you had church today. Oh, we had them. We finished. Okay. The Lord wants all of you. You got some had a late service. They can sleep, eat, look at a little TV, you know, play with the kids and everything. Like, okay, all right, I ain't too tired. Let me go on to church. You give them your leftovers. Lord don't want your leftovers. He wants your first fruits. When you get up early in the morning, he wants you in his house because he's watching over you. He watching you. He watching the fools do that, and he's still helping them. He know that maybe one day they're going to say yes to me. He know the ones that's going to say it and the ones that didn't say like me. He knew this foolhardy person was going to eventually make his mind up, and I'm glad. But everybody don't get the opportunity. You never know the day or the hour which will be yours. The Lord is going to take you out of here because he knows, well, you know, they're not going to accept me. He knows. And I remember Elder Sister Scudder saying that, Elder Sister Williams saying something about how the Lord knows if you're going to accept him or not, and how he would, you know, give you the opportunity. And I lost my thought now. But anyway, the Lord knows if you're going to accept him. He knows. It says that, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We just can't help ourselves. You can't help yourself if you don't have Jesus down on the inside. Romans 3, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of the ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I had no fear of the Lord when I left out of here. I thought I was on my way to just doing whatever I wanted to do. I had no fear anymore. But you better believe me, fear came. Fear came. I went out there. I'm just going to say this. I'm out there, you know, living, doing my thing. Now, I don't know how many people had to go through this for the Lord to get the message over to you. But I done had 3 different occasions where I done had guns pointed at me. 2 was pistols, and 1 was a shotgun. I done had that pointed at me. I could be dead. Because I said, I don't want this. What fool was I? The Lord like, oh, you don't want this? Well, maybe you want this then. Maybe you want this. Sometimes you got to see the difference in it. Some people can't see it. You can tell them. But to actually see it, because it can happen. One time, the gun, drop all the bullets, came out. Another time, the shotgun, it broke. Another time, the knuckleheads didn't know what they was doing. And I was able to get out of there. But the Lord showed me a difference in what can be. And what, you know, it's death out there. I saw it. It's not just a word. People say, oh, it's death out there. Yeah, it's death looks at you. It sees you. It's waiting. Because one day the Lord going to take his hands off and say, well, they're not going to accept me. You know, you're not going to accept me. We just hope that that don't happen to you or anybody that we love or anybody we don't love. To all people need to be saved. Trump needs Jesus. You know, I love him too. I just love for him just to be saved somewhere and working for the Lord. That's what I love. But everybody needs Jesus. So, you know, we don't need to have death stand us in the face to have an understanding, you know, that the Lord wants us. We look at Isaiah 59:1. I'm almost done. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The Lord has separated his face from you. If you don't want to come to Jesus, he is not going to hear you. All he wants to hear is, Lord, save me. Save me. Because I need it. We need it. I need the Lord to save me and keep me. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He come to seek and to save that which was lost, and I was lost. I was lost so deep in sin, I could not see no end. I couldn't see no end to this misery and strife that I was going through. Yeah, I was working. I was being professional on my job every day. But in my mind, I was a mess. We can do that. Because it tells you right here, your mind is the problem. Your mind is the problem. Long as we're in this flesh, with the fleshly mind, you are going to do evil. Now, I just thank the Lord for allowing me to come out of his darkness into his marvelous light. The Lord said you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He told Nicodemus this. The Lord himself said it. You must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter in. You must be, got to be born again. There's no other way. There is no other way. If I was you, I would make up my mind today that I want to be born again. I don't want to put my life in my hands out there, because we know that death is waiting. It's waiting. It's waiting for everybody. It's waiting on me. When my time comes, death is going to come. The Lord is going to call me some way. I'm going to leave this body. And my soul is going to have to exist somewhere. It's going to either be in glory with Jesus or it's going to be in hell with Satan. Where do you want to go? want to go with Jesus or you want to go to hell with Satan. This is your opportunity to come to Jesus just as you are. The Lord said he'll never leave or forsake you. He kept me while I was in my foolishness out there. He didn't leave me. I left him.